Britain becomes the first Western country to begin mass vaccination. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vishala Sripathma in for Victoria Craig. Good morning, and what a momentous morning it's turning out to be. We've always known a vaccine would be the only way out of this dark tunnel where we've closed down our economy, our society, our lives, and seen the most vulnerable fall victim to this deadly virus. Well, finally, a glimmer of optimism as the first doses of the COVID-19 vaccine have been administered here in Britain. First in line, 90-year-old Maggie Kennan.
It was fine. I wasn't nervous at all. It was really good. Go for it because it's free and it's the best thing that's ever happened at the moment. So do, please go for it. If I can do it, well, so can you.
The vaccine made by BioNTech and distributed by Pfizer requires two doses. Britain has secured 800,000 of them so far and have ordered a further 40 million. The Brits have managed to speed ahead, partly because it was the first Western country to give the vaccine regulatory approval, forging a path that the US and the rest of Europe are likely to follow. Sean Murrett is Chief Commercial Officer at BioNTech.
The production schedule is dependent upon approval, and we had originally assumed approvals earlier in the year, in October, in our planning. Now they're coming in December, of course. There is less production, but we still plan to produce up to 1.3 billion doses over the next 12 months or so. We have factories in several countries, not just the United States. And together, working with countries like the United States, we will continue to supply the vaccine worldwide.
The doses must be transported at South Pole-like temperatures, though Pfizer said that it can be stored for 5 days in a normal refrigerator before being used. However, logistical challenges still lie ahead. To deal with delays, the UK, like other countries, has placed orders with other pharmaceutical companies. Kate Bingham, who's tasked with the job of securing access, says that lessons learnt will help Britain face future pandemics.
We now have three separate flexible manufacturing sites which allows us to make different vaccines quickly. And those could be mRNA vaccines like the Pfizer-BioNTech. They could be viral vaccines like Oxford, protein-based vaccines or whole virus vaccines. And so having that flexible manufacturing capacity puts us in a very strong position. And on top, we now have an NHS citizen registry, where over 360,000 volunteers have signed up, willing to learn more about clinical trials and potentially enrol. We have a human challenge programme that enables rapid clinical development. So the UK, we really are punching above our weight on a global stage.
Kate Bingham, head of the UK Vaccine Task Force there. The cost of the programme is expected to run into the billions of dollars. The markets board is a sea of red this morning, with major Asian indices closing lower. In Europe, markets are still chewing over the prospect of a post-Brexit trade deal between the UK and the EU. Next year's Paris Air Show, which is a signature event for the aviation industry, has been cancelled because of the pandemic. The exhibition is held every 2 years, and the 2019 show attracted more than 300,000 visitors. Theo Leggett has the details.
The Paris Air Show, which takes place every 2 years at Le Bourget Airport just outside the French capital, is the largest aerospace industry event in the world. It usually attracts thousands of exhibitors and hundreds of thousands of visitors. At the last event in 2019, deals worth some $140 billion were announced. But that was before the COVID outbreak, which has ravaged the aviation sector and made mass gatherings impossible. The show's organisers had hoped that the pandemic would ease in time for next year's show to go ahead. But despite the prospect of vaccines becoming available, it's still far from clear when restrictions on travel and daily life, which have been severe in France, will be fully withdrawn. As a result, the organisers have taken what they called the inevitable decision to cancel. I'm the BBC's Theo Leggett for Marketplace.
A bright spot for investors today, though, was Hong Kong's biggest initial public offering of the year. Shares in JD Health surged 75% in its trading debut. The healthcare arm of China's second biggest e-commerce platform sells pharmaceuticals and health services online. Michael Norris, an analyst with Agency China in Shanghai, says the demand for online pharmacies has grown during the pandemic.
There's a few things at play here. One is the size, so JD Health being perhaps the largest by revenue. And the second is a real understanding of the opportunity that is occurring in online pharmaceuticals. Soon, it seems, there will be an ability for these online pharmacies to be able to sell over-the-counter medication. And of course, that's got a lot of investors very excited. So we go from selling cough drops online to be able to sell pharmaceutical medicines, and investors have seen and appraised themselves of that particular opportunity over an aging China.
And how do ordinary people feel about purchasing medication over the counter? Are they perhaps a little bit concerned that it doesn't need as much regulatory approval?
I think this is one of the areas where it's important that trust comes in, and JD Health, sitting under JD.com, a very well-respected online retailer, has done very well to be able to secure that trust proposition. What's next, I think, is for JD Health to use some of those IPO proceeds and start to enter the pharmacy channel. And what that does is it enables a greater signaling and a greater build-up of trust with consumers. The idea that you can visit a pharmacy that's aligned with JD Health as well as visit the online marketplace itself probably puts them a cut above their rivals in Alibaba and Ping An Good Doctor.
And so do you think then this is a trend we're going to see, that actually lots more companies now are going to enter the healthcare market online?
So there are currently three comparators that are listed on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. So there's JD Health, there's Alibaba Health, and there's also Ping An Good Doctor. What I think will happen is that the competition between those three, as well as new entrants, will intensify. And the winner is the platform that is able to command consumer trust the most and also be able to build that online marketplace into services most effectively. The idea that it's a one-stop shop for consumers to be able to register to get a health checkup, order particular prescription medications, and have them delivered to their door.
Michael Norris, research analyst at Agency China, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
And spare a thought for gingerbread lovers. A shortage of ginger might mean less zing and more nutmeg in our gingerbread this Christmas. In London, I'm Vishala Sripathna with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.